Grace be unto you and peace from the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this festival of Holy Trinity is taken from the Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, whose blood cleanses us from all sin, dear fellow redeemed in his precious blood. One of my favorite comic strips is entitled Calvin and Hobbes. Those of you familiar with Calvin and Hobbes know that Calvin is a little blonde boy and Hobbes is his stuffed tiger. Like many young children, Calvin also often carries on conversations with his stuffed tiger. On one occasion, Calvin asks Hobbes, do you think our morality is defined by our actions or by what's in our hearts? Wise old Hobbes responds, I think our actions show what's in our hearts. After thinking about it and being condemned, Calvin responds, I resent that. The wise old tiger Hobbes had it exactly right. In fact, our Lord Jesus, long before Calvin and Hobbes were ever dreamt up, said as much when he explained that evil thoughts, words, and actions have their origin in a corrupt human mind. Jesus said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. As we walk with Jesus heavenward, we are going to have to contend with our sinful hearts and minds. We're going to have to daily contend with evil thoughts. Our Heavenly Father warns us about living with our thoughts, that is, of thinking that they are hidden from Him. He tells us that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to Him, while the words of the pure are pleasant to Him. We're truly blessed to study and to learn from God's holy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words and gave them to Solomon to be written for our faith and soul's sake, would bless and enlighten us through these words. Amen. Many, if not all, young boys go through what some would call the gross phase. During the gross phase, they do their best to produce animals and objects that gross out everyone. When I was a young man, that meant purchasing slime from a vending machine at the Kmart. We knew it was a rousing success when we showed it to our mother and she responded simply with, yuck, why would you buy that? What do you find truly detestable? The complete yuck. What would you refuse even to touch in a million years? If you can imagine such a thing, then you can begin to understand what an abomination is in the sight of God. An abomination is something that is detestable to God, something that He wouldn't touch, as it were, with a 1,000-foot pole. In the Old Testament scriptures, God Himself tells us on a number of occasions exactly what He finds detestable. And when we look at these things, we find that they all have this in common, that they have the possibility of hurting His people. Those things that make His people physically or spiritually sick and lead to their death are called an abomination. For example, God said it was detestable to him and should be to them to eat certain animals that consumed rotting flesh and carried disease. Not hard to see why God would find that detestable. In the same way, the Lord also said that idolatry, human sacrifices, consulting fortune tellers, homosexuality, other sexual perversion, divorce, unjust business practices, lying, and all other sins were and still are detestable to him. Yuck. All of these things have the potential to turn us away from the Lord, or at least to turn his face from us. And so the Lord plainly tells us in the Old Testament, "These things my soul hates." Now there's a statement. Yuck. The ultimate yuck. Now all of these things in this list I just mentioned are visible and in some way observable. But a thing doesn't have to be visible and observable to be an abomination to the Lord. Because right here in Proverbs 15, the Lord tells us that even human thoughts are an abomination to him. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Yuck. But admittedly, we tend to think like young Calvin, right? That our thoughts are private, secret, hidden, and certainly not as bad as sinful actions. But this proverb reminds us that God knows even the thoughts that we think before we think them. We would all be ashamed and embarrassed if other people could read our thoughts. I would guess that we would be embarrassed most of the time if people knew our thoughts. But surely this phrase of the proverb isn't speaking of us, is it? It says that the thoughts, the ideas, the conclusions, the desires, the plans and schemes of the wicked are detestable to him. Are we wicked? As far as we still possess a sinful nature, we are indeed wicked. And it is, like Jesus said, that sinful thoughts proceed out of sinful hearts. And we all have one of those. It's not just that we have sinful thoughts. Sadly, we often feed and nurture those thoughts. We thoughtlessly subject ourselves to evil ideas and sinful thoughts. Sometimes we are to blame for putting them in our own minds. Oh, not me, Pastor. Not me. Oh, really? What kind of music do you listen to? What's the subject matter? Is it God-pleasing? Always? What do you watch on television and in movies? Do you watch programming that depicts what God calls sin, but it's depicted as just another natural choice for human beings? Do you watch programming that promotes greed and lust? If you could see the meat in the fridge, that it was rotten and it smelled terrible, would you still eat it? Of course not. Stupid. Why then, if we can see and hear evil, do we still subject ourselves to it? But it's not just what we put into our minds that affects the way we think and act, it's also those with whom we associate. When our friends and neighbors, our co-workers and associates, proudly speak of past sins that they have committed and those that they intend to commit in the future, evil thoughts are put into our minds. If those we associate are not concerned about their relationship with Jesus, will we be if we consort with them? The Lord warns us in 1 Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." So here's the invisible elephant in the room. Why do we allow evil thoughts to be put into our minds? Why don't we see the evil and run from it? The answer is frightening and simple at the same time. We are corrupt. And so the Lord warns us, or has to warn us, that evil thoughts are detestable to our Heavenly Father. In fact, anything that would lead us away from our Lord Jesus is detestable to our God. And there are many such things. So what then can be done? Is this proverb recorded to give us a little boost, to spur us on to greater heights, to move us to try and do better next time? If it were within our power to do so, that would be great. But it isn't. For our natural minds are opposed to God. God's own word says, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." Isn't that evident in the fact that our natural inclination is not obedience, but disobedience? Or maybe that's just me. If it were possible for us to become good by our own will and power, then Christ died for nothing. If we sinful human beings could produce pure thoughts and deeds to please God, why did He send His Son to live an innocent life on our behalf if we could do it ourselves? If we could earn God's favor, why did He send His Son to do it? Is there any comfort at all to be found in this proverb? Well, there's not a great deal of comfort to be found here. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. It's established that we're wicked. It's a truth we can't escape. But our hope rests on two words. The pure. In a kind of backhanded way, Solomon gives us hope by making known that there are some in whose hearts pure words reside and flow from. There must be some who are pure in the sight of God. Who are they? Ironically, it's the same people who are wicked by birth and nature. You see, the pure are those who have been purified, cleansed of sin by God Himself. For unless God Himself purifies the hearts of men by removing their sin, they cannot and they will not speak pure or pleasant words from the heart. In fact, we will ask the Lord to give us to produce in us pure thoughts at the close of the sermon. We do it every week when we sing the words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We're saying, "Lord, unless you remove my sin for Jesus' sake, unless you purify my heart, I can only produce wicked thoughts and words. Give me a new guide, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that He may lead me on your paths." And we know even then, hopefully at the end of the sermon, we know even then that God has heard our prayer. Our sins have been removed. Our hearts have been unburdened. For you see, it's Christ who cleanses us and makes us pure. Christ who declares us righteous in God's sight through faith in His living and dying. Christ who sends the Holy Spirit to sanctify and to purify our hearts through the words of sin forgiven. It is the Spirit of God who through the Word fills our hearts with pure thoughts and pure words which we pass on to others. Pure words that have to do with our perfect and pure Savior Jesus. He creates us anew within from the inside out, moving us to desire evil, not evil, but good. He gives us new life and produces in us pure thoughts and desires. But it's only the power of the cross that can move us to say in the face of temptation, "How can I do this great evil and sin against God? If my Savior so loved me that He was willing to die for me, to be separated from His Father, and to suffer the pain of hell in order to remove my sin from me, why would I want to surround myself with the thoughts, with the words, with the friends that would lead me away from Him? Instead, dear Lord, let this encouragement be my daily guide and prayer. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And let us also conclude by singing and asking the Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.